I want to encourage you to open your Bibles today. We're going to go to John first, John chapter 14. And in the month of October, 6 years ago, Almley and I came down here and we did what we call, it's called Preach for the Call. Basically, you're candidating for the position to be the lead pastor. So they bring you in. We were in Whitehorse for 16 years. We came down here. And almost to this day, 6 years ago, we came and we preached for this position. And obviously, the grace of God has brought us here, and we're so grateful for that. Now, please don't let your mind start wandering, thinking, he's saying this, and he's going to give us a gift at the end, and there's this concern that we're checking out or something. Please don't let that ever cross your mind. Don't go there. But we're so grateful. And so, what could I do to respond in thankfulness to you as a church? And so at the end, I'd like to just deposit something in you if I could. And so please just kind of bear with me as we walk through and journey through some scriptures together. So we're in John chapter 14, verse 12. I was just reading through this and it just struck me. Is there scriptures that just strike you? You're like, I need to know more about that. I'm not quite sure I understand that, and I just want to unpack a little bit of that with you. I love the very first thing it says, I tell you the truth. So this is, it's going to be good. He goes, oh, that's going to be good. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. Like, I'm telling you the truth that you're going to do greater things than Jesus is saying this. Like, okay, whoa, like that, isn't that a heavy, like, interesting thought, Jesus. I've tried to walk on water. Doesn't, you know, jive for me, you know. I've tried to just lay hands on things and it doesn't turn into another refreshment. No. So let's go to Matthew just for a second because we want to think through some other scriptures that would kind of piggyback on that thought in a sense. So Matthew chapter 22, verse 22. That's easy to remember. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. So again, oh, this is going to be good. He's telling us some truth here that you and I should glean from, learn from. If you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what I have done to this fig tree, but also you can say to this mountain, or throw yourself into the sea, boom, and it will be done. Like what? That is so heavy to think about. The things that Jesus did, if we read his stories, we're always like, that was so miraculous what he did. And you're saying that I possibly could do that? I think it's just blowing our mind in the sense of when he was walking to Jerusalem, he saw a fig tree. Now, what do we do around here? We walk to town or around town. Those apples are there for free again, you know. Not these plastic, you know, waxy things. Don't eat that stuff. But I'm telling you, there is some fruit usually at the front. It's like zucchinis and apples and pears. Like all these kind of things that when we walk around town or even when we walk around in the bushes, there's mushrooms. Like, what are these mushrooms all doing here? You know, don't eat half of them. They're all poison. Just be careful which ones you eat. But you've walked by something and you're expecting. So when you go in the bushes, you're expecting to find something. You walk by an apple tree, you're expecting to find something. You walk by a pear tree, you know, all these kind of cherry trees, you're expecting to find something. And Jesus doesn't find it. And so he curses this tree and it withers and dies. And the disciples are like, oh my gosh, that was unbelievable. And he said, not only will you do that, you can say to this mountain, go throw yourself in the sea. It's blowing our minds. It's trying to get us out of the box or the idea of thinking like, we're so limited, aren't we? We're like, oh, I don't know. Sometimes we pray that way as well. Lord, if it's your will, please do. No, like Jesus is saying, you will do these things. Like, okay, whoa, okay, that's got my attention. I want to look at just, I really wish I had like a Q&A, like right hand for this answer, left hand for that answer, push yes or no, so we get a response out of the room. But I want to look at a couple things that happened in the Bible and who did them. Because I think you'll be very surprised that it's not, and now Jesus is a very cool guy. Let me just, you know, Jesus, the cross, we all get that. But there's some people in the Bible that do some miraculous things as well. So let's look at some of them together. Think through who did this. Okay, so as I read this kind of statement, who did that? People from the surrounding countryside brought all their sick, and all those that touched the hem of his cloak were healed. I just made it really easy. Jesus did that first one. I just thought we better make it easy so we don't get it wrong, right? Sunday school, Jesus? You know, like, okay, so Jesus, yes. Matthew chapter 14, verse 34 and 36 gives us that story. Second statement. People laid the sick on beds and mats on the streets. People from nearby towns brought their sick, those tormented by evil spirits. so that his shadow might fall on them so that they could be healed. Somebody knows it. If Pastor Ben was here, he'd be like, you know, of course, he's not here. He's doing worship at the WAPS church this morning, so we'll forgive him for not giving this, the answer. It was actually Peter that did that. Wow. The shadow of a disciple, a Christian, healed people. Like, okay, please don't start doing that. It's walking around town, like, okay, where's the, you got a little spotlight on yourself and casting shadows on people, you know, trying to get them healed. But seriously, Peter did that because Jesus said, the things that I do, you will do as well. Isn't that interesting? Acts chapter 5, verses 15 and 16, that's Peter doing that. I think this one's too easy. This is like, you know, Sunday school. Handkerchiefs and aprons that touched him were taken to the sick, and they were healed. Acts chapter 19, verse 11 and 12. And the answer is Paul. Thank you so much. Yeah. So we know that Paul did that. Things that he would touch. And that's why it's our quilting ministry. Now, Susie's not here this morning. Peter, good to see you. Susie and the team, they do quilts. And they pray over these quilts as they're putting them together. And so that when we send them out, we pray that it would be a blessing to somebody. That it would really help somebody in need. So we kind of follow in suit of that. Because Jesus said we would do these things. Okay. This one, it only shows up in Luke chapter 13, so no cheating. A woman who was bent over for 18 years, he placed his hands on her, and she straightened up. And that was Jesus. And unbelievable. Just, you know, we saw those shriveled hands in the gospel, and they straightened up in Jesus' name. He just laid hands on them. Isn't that exciting? Here's the last one, because we got to get to the message here this morning. Offered a hand up to a crippled man, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became straight in Acts chapter 3. Who is that? Peter. Silver and gold I don't have for you, but in the name of Jesus, what I have for you, stand up and be healed. Wow, isn't that exciting? So Jesus did these things, and we see in the Gospels that people, human beings, did these things as well. So we read, we will do greater things. Like, that's just, it's hard to fathom. So, think about the context. I just want to look at John chapter 14 for a second. The context where that lands, where he says, you will do greater things than I do. So the context there is that Jesus is just about to be crucified. He knows that. And he's preparing his disciples for his departure. He's saying things in there. We would read in chapters, you know, 12 and 13 and these kind of places. I will not abandon you. I'm going to be with you. My Father is going to send you the Holy Spirit. It's better that I go away. And then listen to, again, what Jesus is trying to teach his disciples. I'm going to the Father. It's going to be good because these kind of things will happen. And again, we unpack verses 11 and 12 of John 14. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence. Oh, man, that's exciting. Right? If you don't believe what I'm telling you, watch, in a sense, watch what's happening. You know, look at the fruit. Is the fruit good? And then verse 10, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will even do greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. We've got to understand that. So doing greater things. Okay, so my mind instantly, my natural mind goes to greater things. I'm thinking, okay, Jesus walked on water, raised people from the dead, healed the sick. We will do great. We're going to pick up mountains and, you know, truck them in the sea. We'll do great, like, bigger things than Jesus. That's actually not the context. That's not what it's saying. It's saying that you will do, in a sense, more things than Jesus did. And just bear with me. Let me make a couple points here before you abandon this thought. Because as if, how can you do more? Like, raise people from the dead, heal this. Like, what more could you actually do for a person? There isn't really much more, greater things you can do for somebody than those kind of things. Jesus wasn't talking about the miracles, but he was talking about what we were going to do. So think about this just for a second. If you think about Jesus' time on the earth, 33 years, I get that, but really 3 years of ministry that we're picking up here. The story is about 3 years of his life, of all the things that he did. And we pick up all, you know, there's 37, you know, however you want to picture this, about 40 miracles only written there between the Gospels, that the things that he did. It obviously says that there was other things that he did that weren't written down. I get that. But he had 3 years, and he never really went very far. He didn't get on a plane. You know, he's about 60 miles-ish in kind of the area that he was around, kind of Palestine area. That's kind of where he landed. He did things for 3 years. So what are you saying? That for you and I today, we will do probably more things than Jesus did just because of timing and because of the influence of the internet, because we can travel to further places. I hope that makes sense. So let's just use a Bible story person, then we'll use a real life story person that we would all recognize. So when Paul traveled around, like he traveled around the whole Mediterranean Sea, like that whole area, and he witnessed and went on missionary journeys, planted churches, he saw people healed, all these kind of things. That's just what Paul did. And we could use the example today, like an individual like Billy Graham. Like he's gone around the world, he's preached the gospel, millions of people come to Christ. Now, please understand me. I am not saying that we're better than Jesus or we'll do more. Like what Jesus did on the cross, no human can do. But some of the healings and the miracles we have seen, we've witnessed. How many have heard a story of somebody like completely healed? Like we all know somebody. How many people have, like, we've seen miraculous signs and wonders? We've seen those kind of things. Like, I've seen somebody back in the day, hepatitis C, you know the story, it was a personal friend of mine, healed when it was incurable. HIV, which is still incurable, somebody healed of HIV. You know, I've seen these kind of things in my own life. People that go to the doctors that are not able to have kids, I've seen them healed and able to have kids. Like, these are kind of things, not me. The Lord did those things through people, not even my hands. I didn't even pray for those people, but these are some of the stories that I hear. So when Jesus says you will do greater things, because when Jesus was around on the earth till today, a lot of things have happened in that time. Isn't that exciting? Things are happening right now today somewhere on the planet. People are being raised from that still today around the world. And so that's what Jesus is referring to. So I just really wanted us to understand that kind of concept. It's very important for us to understand that, because sometimes when we read that, we're going to do greater things and throw mountains into the water. You just think, that doesn't make any sense. Like, there's just no way. I prayed. I haven't seen a mountain go flying out of the way. I pray that the road would be straighter in some places. But let's look at just three miracles that we would find in the New Testament. I referred to a few of them already earlier in the message. So the first one is in Acts chapter 3. And so we're going to pick up a story of Peter, because I want you to see stories of real-life people after Jesus leaves and the kind of things that happen. So in Acts chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "One day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, 3 in the afternoon. Now a crippled man from birth was being carried on the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money, like he did every day, all day long. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, 'Look at us.' So the man gave him his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said to him," just a dynamite statement, right? It resonates with us. Before I even say it, you know that what I'm about to say, "Silver and gold I don't have, but what I have I give you in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Get up and walk." Like that's a miraculous sign and wonder. We don't have time to flush it all out. You can do it for homework. Just continue reading that story. But we're just going to jump down to verse 10 just for timing's sake. Listen to what happened to this crippled man after that miraculous sign and wonder. "They recognized him as he went into the church as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had just happened to him." They were filled with this miraculous sign that had happened. It was like, no way that could have happened. There's absolutely, I know that guy. We were buddies in high school. I just put him in the goalie net and he just sat there and we all shot pucks at him because he couldn't move. His legs were broken, right? You know, those kind of things. Like, this is the guy I know. And so for you and I, it should be the same. When somebody interacts with you or hears about you, they should say, "I remember that guy growing up. I remember that kid growing up. I remember that girl growing up. There's no way that they're doing the things that you're talking to me about. Or there's no way, you had no hope. There was, you know, I know the background, your family. I know how much, you know, da, 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 da. But, you know, I know the anger that you used to have. You know, those kind of kids that were angry and just kind of go and push over mailboxes and throw rocks through windows and all that kind of stuff. Like, I remember that kid. What happened to him?" This is a sign and a miracle that we still see today. And I think our stories mirror that in our community. When they hear about you, "Oh, yeah, I know that guy. I've interacted with that guy before. He's good. I like that guy. He's, you know, I like that lady. Like, they're really nice. I like to be around them. There's this miraculous change in us where we care about people and we care about situations and we're concerned with our community. Let's look at a second one here. I referred to it earlier, but here we go. Acts chapter 5, verse 15. Pick up a story of the Apostle Paul. 5:15. It says, as a result, and so this result, just a bit of context there, is that because Ananias and Sapphira, who sold some property and gave it to the disciples and lied about it, actually ended up passing away. And so the people are gripped with fear. And so they're like, okay, I don't want to go to church and hang out with the Apostle Paul because, like, I don't want to get zonked out. You know, I want to end up dead. And so the Apostle Paul is doing church. And so the people in the community are feeling this way. So as a result of that thing that was a little bit scary, people brought the sick into the streets instead of the church and laid them on beds and mats. So at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as they passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by evil spirits, and all of them were healed. The people were a little bit afraid. Like, I don't want to go to church. That's a bit weird. Like, who's ever felt that? Maybe you're here this morning. I'm so sorry. You know, it's awkward. Like, this church, I've never been here. I don't know where to sit. Where's the washroom? This guy's preaching for us. I'm thirsty. Like, you've all been there at some point in life, right? When you step through the doors of the church, you're like, you don't know, like, it's a little bit intimidating. I talk to some people, they say, I will never go to church because if I step foot through the door, I'm so full of sin, I'm going to catch on fire. I'm just going to combust. I'm thinking, well, we don't feel that way. Like, the church is awesome. Like, but the people were a little bit afraid. So they thought, let's just bring it, like, outside the church. So as the Christians walk by, maybe we'll get healed because I hear good things about the church, but I don't want to be a part of the church. Like, it's just an interesting dynamics, isn't it? And so let us be a wonderful example to people. The third miracle here we pick up is in Acts chapter 19, verse 11. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even, again, handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick and illnesses that were cured and the evil spirits left them. And then just the last one here, just because I really want to get to what I want to give you this morning. That sounds scary, though. Like, oh, I don't know if I want that, you know. James chapter 5. And so we'll pick up a story here. Paul is trying to teach some people, and James is interacting with them, like, how should we lead people, and what happens when somebody's sick? And so we look at this very famous piece of scripture, James chapter 5, verse 13. If any one of you is in trouble, he should pray. Is anyone happy? It's Thanksgiving week, and if we're happy, let him sing songs of praise. We did that this morning. That was good. If anyone of you is sick, should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful. It's powerful and effective. And so as we look at Scripture again and again and again over all these years, I always want to put into practice, what's the application of what you just taught me? Like, great scripture, thank you, that was helpful. I learned something new this morning, but then how do we apply it in our lives? And that's really what I want to kind of go off of today. So in the 6 years I've been here, I've preached 200 sermons to you. And so in that, we've learned a lot together. There are times when, you know, near the end of the year, I preach on end times. I just like to preach about, you know, Revelation, things that go on in there. But why do I say Revelation? Because it's all throughout the Bible, end time conversation. There are times I want to talk to you about prayer, the importance of prayer, and that sometimes we don't get answered prayer unless we pray and fast. Sometimes I want to talk to you about generosity. I want our church to be generous. I just want to be like, you know, just uber generous to our community. Sometimes we teach on just, yeah, from front to back, just the whole Word of God. And so today what I want to do to give you as a gift is I really want to pray for you. And so it could be a little awkward. I love awkward moments for me personally. I'm like, well, this is going to be great, Lord. This sounds like a lot of fun. People will feel awkward. Awesome. I'm feeling awkward already just even telling you this thing is going to be good. But please allow Omley and I the great opportunity to pray for you individually. And so what I'd love to see is that, so Almi and I are going to be right here at the front, my lovely wife, And if you're in the balcony or in any one of these seats, I want you to kind of filter this way, and then you kind of come to Alma and I, because, you know, for timing's sake, we got to do it quickly. You know, lots of you have been here for 6 years with me. You know me. You trust me. This isn't flaky. You're not going to get weird. Please don't fall on the ground and flip around. Please don't start screaming. Like, this is not what it's for. This is a very orderly opportunity where we just love to pray for you. Just like, in Jesus' name, be healed. And may the Holy Spirit fill you today. And whatever that healing looks like, I don't know, right? Only God knows. You don't have to confess anything to Almi and I. We're not going to spend a lot of time with you just because of timing's sake. We just want to place our hands on you and put oil on you and say, please be filled with the Holy Spirit. And God will do what God can do. And we're just obedient to God's word. And so please, again, allow us to do that with you. Almi and I, years ago when we were in Whitehorse, because what's the result of this? You'd say, you know, Pastor, maybe you're newer to the church. You're like, I don't even know this guy. I'm not going to go get prayer. This is awkward, man. Like, forget that. But what happens if God wanted to do something in you this morning? So Alma and I, years ago, we were in Whitehorse. We brought a guest team in to do some evangelism, to do speak at the church. They were from Anchorage, Alaska. And so they came down, they preached, and there was a whole team of these young guys from Master's Commission. And so Alma and I are just in the back. You know, we're kind of like co-directing this event. And so this young guy just comes over to us. He's like, are you guys having trouble having children? I'd love to pray for that over you. We're like, oh my gosh, like we just got married. And like, it was honestly super awkward. I was thinking, maybe we do have a problem. I don't know. Like, we've got things to protect, you know, but, you know, so I was like, well, to make him not awkward, I didn't say we had problems. I said, why don't you pray for that for us? He just thought, like, we got to get out of this conversation. This is awkward, man. But, like, honestly, I don't know. What happens if really seriously, like, I wasn't able to or Omni wasn't able to, but that prayer healed us? And we will never know until I find Jesus going, just so you know, that prayer fixed you. Like, oh, wow, cool, you know. I don't know. And this morning, too, I don't honestly know what's going on for you. I don't know what Jesus wants to heal in you. It's none of my business. God's at work. I'm just asking you to be obedient, please, as your leader, to just give me the opportunity just to pray for you. I think there's something very scriptural, very biblical, very orderly to just lay hands on each other every so often in Jesus' name. Often us as elders in this church, as board members, Pastor Ben and I will go, like often, we'll go to your house. You know, I've been to a lot of your houses. I've seen you in the hospital. We'll come and we'll just lay, you know, anoint with oil and say, in Jesus' name be healed. Like, we do that all the time. But I just want to take this one opportunity. I don't know if I'll ever do this again. So it isn't like, well, I'll just wait till next year until he does it. Like, I just don't know. It's been 6 years and I've never done this. But I just really felt it was pivotal this morning. Thanksgiving week. And we are so thankful, Omni and I. And so we want to reciprocate that and say, thank you so much for believing in us, praying for us, allowing us to speak into your lives, allowing us to pray with you. So if that's you this morning, in just a moment, just to kind of give a bit more clarification again. So Omni and I right here, we're going to have oil. I'm going to quickly pray for you. Please make your way this way. Please come as a couple. That'd be great. Please come as a whole family. That'd be great. If you're here by yourself, that's awesome too. We love that. It's great. So I'm going to ask the worship team. So I just asked them, I said, hey, if you feel like you need some prayer for us, then why don't you let the worship team come through first? And then if the worship team's not feeling it, then they're going to come to the platform and just gently, quietly set the mood for us, you know. Let the Holy Spirit move. I'm joking with you, but just, you know, it's nice to have a little bit of music in the background so it's not too awkward. And then for the rest of us, once that happens, if you feel led, please, you know me, it's no pressure. I love you, whatever you decide to do. If that's you, though, please come around this way. We'll quickly pray with you. You're going to sit down. We'll sing a song, and then we'll close the service off because I know we all got to get to our Thanksgiving meals or next door to the Meet the Pastor's lunch, which is going to be awesome. Looking forward to that. I'm already looking forward to that. It's terrible. I should focus on what I'm doing here. Okay. So Omni and I here, worship team, if you feel. I'll try and make it as less awkward as possible.